Well, hello, welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. You are listening to yet another podcast on passive wealth for high-tech minds. And here with me, I have a distinguished guest, Rick Martin. This is the first time I'm meeting Rick, but Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Prashant. Thanks for having me on. It's my privilege.
Awesome. Rick actually has been investing in real estate since 1997. He currently lives in Southern California. You know, he has obviously a beautiful wife and two young boys. He's founder of Fortress Federation Investments. They provide, value-add multifamily investment opportunities in Southeast and Texas markets to help investors build wealth and multiple income streams. Fortress Federation is currently a co-sponsor in over 1,700 units. Rick himself has personally invested in more than 2,300 units. He has a background in entertainment advertising, which he leans on to providing educational content to help his investors understand real estate and multifamily syndications. So this was Rick's formal introduction, and I would welcome Rick once again to this show.
Thanks, Prashant. Good job on that, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you. So basically, Rick, as we were discussing, you know, in this podcast, we try to create value for these tech professionals, you know, who are working very hard day in and day out. They work 12 hours a day, but do not have insight into investing. For them, investing is more like investing in stocks and bonds. And that's it. I mean, and as you were saying, people do not really analyze those investments properly. Obviously, nobody knows how to read those Wall Street Journal reports and make anything out of it. People end up throwing their cards and end up throwing their hard-earned money onto the table and hope and pray that this will grow. Sometimes it grows, but most of the time it tanks. As of June 2022, you know how the market is now. I mean, I have folks who are whose portfolios are 70-80% down, and all the hard-earned money has been wiped off. So I would like to talk to you, Rick, you being in California. What is your insight? I mean, tell me what you really think about high-tech people, how they should be looking at the investments opportunities in the limited time that they have, you know?
Yeah.
So just give me, share some thoughts. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I would think that tech professionals are highly analytical people, and they like to analyze any sort of investment that they're going to get themselves into. And I think there's just so much involved, so much panic and emotion in the stock market, so much that cannot be controlled. Whereas with real estate, it's not rocket science, you know. The deal is pretty much laid out there in front of you with the investment summary and the webinar. And there are things that people can kind of wrap their heads around, you know, what's going on with that market. Is there enough population to support a multifamily industry? That's a good question you ought to ask yourself. Is there enough inventory? Is there competing inventory? Is there rent growth? Is there job growth? Is it a diverse market? And are they making an attractive business environment for businesses to come there? there's like a broad scope you can kind of analyze. And there are websites that I recommend people get a list of websites that you can bookmark, like Justice Maps or City Dash Data. You can kind of have this little system that in place to kind of do your own due diligence on a project, so you're not completely reliant upon that investor's investment summary. But I think you give yourself a better chance to see like that this investment is going to work, whereas it's a crapshoot with the stock market. And I'm in a similar situation. I have one investor. He continually throws money into the stock market. And about a year ago, he said, I really want to invest with you. I see the numbers. It makes sense. I see the tax advantages. But, now I'm down. The stock market crashed. This is like a year ago. And, I'm just going to wait for it to come back. And I never heard from him, right? And what, 2, 3 weeks ago, everything crashed again. So I'll never hear from him. At some point, you want to get into something more stable. And the good thing about real estate is it pays you cash flow. You can actually see your returns coming in. You can, if you get enough of them, you can start to sort of live off those income streams. And you might be surprised how often deals or how quickly a deal will go full cycle. You see the 5-year hold and you think, oh my gosh, my money's going to be gone for 5 years. But you might be surprised in 16 months, maybe it's time to sell that property and you're going to get a big chunk of equity a lot sooner than you thought. And then the third variable is tax advantages. And sometimes people don't really get that. Oh yeah, tax advantages. They don't really understand what that means. It really does. It's a real advantage. I just did my taxes, right? And I got a bunch of paper losses handed to me. I'm not going to share the amount, but it was large and it's plenty to offset any other passive investments I have. If I had gains in the stock market, it could offset that as well. I'm pretty much a real estate guy, so it offsets all my real estate gains. But until you go through that process, passively invest and then get that K1, I don't think you're going to really understand it. So try it. You'll be happy at tax time, how that is an additional benefit.
No, I think you said it right, Rick. Is that basically whatever information that you get for the stocks, if, and how much you can analyze that? I mean, I think I don't. I mean, what you said is not enough information. Obviously, everybody has different way of reporting and stuff like that. But you get enough information for any sort of syndication. Their webinars, their PPMs, their conference calls going on to discuss the opportunity. I mean, it would be, I mean, I don't want to use the word dumb, but it would be really dumb for me if I spend an hour and do not understand what these guys are talking about. I mean, I think that 1 hour of webinar itself is enough for me to tell, is enough for me to understand, how the market is. I mean, let's say, I know you invest in Southeast markets. Probably let's say Jacksonville for argument's sake. Population has gone up, and they mentioned it in webinar. Job growth has happened. They mentioned it in webinar. They tell you the address, and it is very easy for you to look at what area it is. They obviously tell you what it is. You go to Justice Map, citydata.com, and you have seen the price going up over a period of time yourself. So it is like just 3, 4 variables, and that this property is going to make money, and it's not just going to disappear, for, so to say.
It's not that hard. I mean, look, I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but it's not that hard to succeed in multifamily. If you're with a team that doesn't succeed, then you better get away from that team, because oftentimes, or at least in my circles, the network that I'm involved in, everybody's having a success. I think that you need to do a lot of things incorrectly to not have success. You know, having said that, you want to be aligned with operators that have gone full cycle, because there are a lot of things that you need to go through. How is it going through a sale? How is it going through a refinance? You know, dealing with these different types of situations. You want someone who's got that that experience, so it's going to give you the best outcome. But yeah, you know, you said it there. It's all laid out there in front of you. I think a lot of us, even however analytical we are, we sort of make decisions based on some things that sort of stimulate some emotions. Like, what's this? What excites me about this deal? And real estate, it's pretty easy to understand. It's easy to kind of get excited about, because you can kind of understand how, all right, we're going to improve the operations of this building. We're gonna upgrade the facilities, the amenities. You can kind of wrap your head around the business plan and understand how. Oh, I see. Well, yeah, I can see how that's gonna raise values, and you know, there's going to be some turnover involved. That's usually all laid out there in front of you. You know, I didn't want to belittle the process. You know, it's a challenge turning over a property, but it can, and it should be done. So yeah, and you know, but getting back to stocks, I think there is a lot of, I think people get a little fearful when they read the PPM of an investment or a real estate syndication. They'll go through the PPM, they'll see all the risks, and they'll be, oh my gosh, I don't know, this is pretty scary. It seems pretty risky, because that's what the attorney's job is, right? Lay out every possible risk there is. And it's there for basically liability, and it's there to sort of scare you. But here's the thing, it's full transparency. You know, there's no hiding. Whereas with a stock, there's a lot of fine print that people just don't read, right? They just see that buy button and they hit buy. It's too easy, and it's also too easy to sell. People sell at the wrong time. And you know, people will look at putting their money into real estate as, you know, it's an illiquid investment. You know, my money's going to be stuck there. Oh gosh, I can't touch it. Well, that might be a good thing. You know, now you can't hit that sell button at the wrong time. You have a lot of minds aligned on what's the best time, you know, to sell this thing. What's the best time to seek a refinance? So you got a whole team working for you. Whereas, yeah, maybe you've hired a stockbroker, but they have so many clients and they're juggling emotions just like you are. So yeah, the stability of the stock market is definitely, or the volatility, I should say, is a disadvantage, and the stability of real estate, give that advantage to real estate.
Well, I like your comment, which you said that, yes, your money is illiquid in real estate, but it's good that it is illiquid, that you cannot take it out, because it's not you who have to decide when to take it out, because there are more professional folks who are managing that money for you. And that's their job to manage it, and because they are working hard on the money for you, rather than stock market, where yes, stock, you know, market went down 100 points and you are emotional and let me get out. And the next thing you did, you went to the computer and sold it, and you know, and you lost money on that trade.
Next day it shoots back up.
And it shoots back up. So it's kind of funny how our emotions play. And between you and I, this is my full confession, I have gone through that myself.
Oh yeah, of course.
There was a time and ended up losing almost all my savings, basically, because of this emotional reason. You know, I would buy it at the wrong time because the market has gone up. It is, you know, people will think that it's going to continue to go up.
Yeah.
You'll buy at the wrong time, and then it starts going down, you think that it's gonna continue to go down, but you know, you sell it and it starts going up.
Yeah.
So that happens all the time, because our capabilities are our capabilities and we are not capable in every direction, you know. I mean, I would be the first one to admit that not everybody can do good in every area, so to say. Right?
Yeah. I would just add on to that, the ability to actually control an investment is possible in real estate. Whereas in the stock market, there's so much panic that we discussed that there really, you have no control and neither does your stockbroker. Whereas with commercial real estate, I'm not talking about single family is a different ball game, but in commercial real estate, you have the net operating income. And as long as you can raise that net operating income, you can raise the value of a property during any market. So you're not at the whims of the emotions of a market. Now with single family, you don't have that capability, right? You're basing on your comps, your neighbors, and whatever happens there, that's what's going to happen to your property too. But as long as you can raise that net operating income, you know, you divide that net operating income by the cap rate and out spits a value. So if you're raising that net operating income, which is what is happening now with rents, right? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, interest rates are rising, you know, cash flow is getting squeezed. Well, rents are still rising, and that's raising the net operating income, and that's raising the value of the property. You know, another interesting point, getting a little off topic, but there's a graph that shows what happens with interest rates over the last, gosh, forever, since like the early 1900s. And on that graph, I wish I could show it, but it shows every recession, and leading up to that recession is a rise in interest rates, right? It's quantitative tightening, which is purposeful, right? The Fed's doing it. They're operating the puppet strings. They're rising those interest rates, and they're trying to slow down the economy, and then we head into a recession, and some are longer than others, but they really don't last too long. Sometimes it's just a couple quarters, sometimes maybe it can be a year. But what happens during those recessions, and it's marked in gray on this chart, you can look it up, it's FRED. Look up FRED interest rates, and you'll see it. What happens is the interest rates immediately start to decline, right? And they decline, they fall pretty fast. And that's the Fed doing quantitative easing again, right? They're lowering interest rates. So my thought is right now, yeah, you know, deals are tighter. It's been a challenging year to roll out deals to our investors. The cash flow is a bit tighter, you know, instead of 8% now, you know, 5%. But here's my rosy outlook anyway, and we're recording, so I'm on the hook. but I can see getting into deals now that cash flow still have a very positive total return projection. But in a few years, when interest rates come down, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to come down. A lot of people are fearful that they're going to go to the moon. They're not. You know, the Fed is going to do this for a little while. What did they say? Seven rate hikes. And then they're going to start to ease again. So interest rates will come down. I don't know if it's going to happen in the next year, but next year two, maximum three. I don't think it's going to be that long. Interest rates will come down, and that might be a really nice, attractive time to refinance and improve cash flow in that deal that you just got in. So I think there's a silver lining to this. And the Fed's not, they know what they're doing. That's a different outlook on interest rates.
They're not here to kill the economy, for sure. You know, they're here
exactly
to do the right thing for the economy, and part of that is raising it right now so the economy slows down a little bit and people kind of, you know, there's a correction, you know, balloons are bursting here and there, and then, you know, those who are intelligent, they are coming into the market at that time. Taking advantage of good, cheaper assets, and hopefully within a year or two, like what you said, as interest rate comes down, we refinance them, those properties. So it's almost like, you know, it doesn't matter what you get, right? I mean, maybe you'll get a little lesser cash flow right now,
mm-hmm.
but your outlook has to be, you know, your projections can be long-term, right? So
exactly.
And it is good that, you know, your money is illiquid, that you cannot get out when things are not great.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you'd want to check with whatever deal you're getting in is to make sure that they have enough cash reserves, and that the deal does cash flow, so that you're net, you know, you're net cash flow positive, you have plenty of cash reserves, and you know, that way you hold the fort, you know, you weather any storm. Although I don't really see a storm. I think maybe for those that were trying to refinance right now, they're, you know, they could be in a bit of trouble. Hopefully those people and their deals were had plenty of operating reserves. That's something you always want to check on. Make sure they have plenty of cash reserves. I think at a minimum you want about $1,200 per door.
Yeah.
And that's going to get you through. And you also want to see what the break-even occupancy is. You know, if it's real high, if it's up in the high 80s, you might want to second guess that deal. You know, in a stabilized property, you're anything above 90%, right? So you want to see what their break-even occupancy is. And if there's enough of a delta between that 90% and say their break-even is like 69, 71%, you'll be just fine. So there are a few things you want to look at, but I think, like I say, it's not rocket science. You know, you just follow some fundamentals and you can come out smelling pretty sweet.
Awesome. I mean, these are good points. I mean, and all of this information, what you mentioned, operators give it in their webinars, right?
Yes.
And they do look at all these things to begin with for you.
Yeah, it's laid out in writing, right?
Right. These things are written right on the wall that, you know, this is my interest reserve. When they are presenting the webinar, it is at least $1,200 per door. You know, this is my interest rate right now, and this is the rate cap we are buying. Hopefully, the interest rate will not go beyond that. Even if it goes, they are protected.
Good point.
I mean, all these things are written right there in your PPM and in your webinars. So it is not like analysis is not difficult in what we are discussing. It's not rocket science. Basically, anybody can understand. I mean, if I can understand, anybody can understand. Let me put it this way.
Don't belittle yourself. I know you're a smart guy. But no, you're right. You're right. There's just a few variables that you want to check. The analysis has been done. You want to verify that analysis.
Yeah.
And you know, by the time that you settle in with a good operator, and you know that you know that they're honest, they have a high level of integrity, they're transparent, then you really don't even have to verify. You just know that that person's got your back. And I don't know about you, but I haven't come across many bad operators, meaning people who, you hear these stories in all types of investments. Like, of course, the biggest one is Bernie Madoff. I find a lot of good people out there who are just trying to, they want to stay in business. They're in business to stay in business. And they have incentive. Here's the thing. Your interests are aligned with theirs because they want to profit too. There's another difference. Your stockbroker, he just gets his fee. It doesn't really matter what happens to that stock. Well, your operator, he's not going to make any money if the building doesn't make any money. They're part of the profits too. They're part of the cash flow too. They have their own incentive. So and that's another thing. You want to check, make sure they're investing as well, right alongside you. That your interests, when people say their interests are aligned, that's what they mean. They need that project to do well. Whereas your stockbroker, he got your fee either way.
I mean, he gets paid up front, right? The stockbroker gets paid up front. You know, you know, if you are investing 100,000, whatever their fees is, 1%, 2%, they get paid and they are like, okay, they are done.
Yeah, they're done.
You know, and that's it. But in multifamily, in the syndications, and you said it right, Rick. I mean, there are a lot of good people out there.
Maybe
one or two bad folks, you know, who have less integrity, and you figure it out, you know. You search for them, you know, they have reviews all over the place for them, burning it off, you know.
Right.
You cannot think that the whole pond, I mean, the fish, all the fishes in the pond are bad.
No.
Maybe one or two here and there. And those who are there, I mean, they don't last for long. I mean, they probably last only one or two seasons and that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one bad, a deal goes south. That's going to be hard to overcome reputation-wise. And people know that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think, for the most part, people aren't, they don't have malicious intent. I think you can find some people who are inexperienced and get in over their head. That's a different thing. Those things you have to check for. You know, you want to make sure that there is, like I say, enough experience so they can, you know, think on their feet and pivot when they need to pivot. I don't know. I don't know. I'm biased, but it's an awesome way to invest.
Yeah, I mean, you are saying you are biased, but I don't think you are biased. I mean, this is our business, obviously, we want to promote it, but you are really saying what everybody should hear, right? I mean, you are screaming from your lungs, saying that, guys, come on. You know, what can you do better than this, right? I mean,
yeah,
really, you and I are sitting and all we do is, you know, as an investor, we cut the check and watch it grow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the operator who's doing the work, you know.
Yeah, and you know, the person that I mentioned earlier who said that, you know, he lost his money in the stock, or, you know, his nest egg had declined massively, and that he needed for it to come back, and then he wanted to invest with me. Well, that's a friend, and I know him, and I know he needs this. So, I almost get angry. You know, I'm frustrated because I know it's a good thing for him. And you know, I got my own sister in a couple deals. You know, I believe in it. If I didn't, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. So. It's frustrating when people they continue down the same path that hasn't gotten them anywhere, you know, continue down that stock market path. I really believe once you get the ball rolling with syndication, you don't have to worry about your nest egg running out, because you just rinse and repeat, and you just kind of continue to build those income streams on top of each other, especially when you have a deal or two that refinance. Now you get your capital back, you redeploy that, you stay in that deal, your cash flow improves in that deal, but now you got money to put in another deal. So now you're actually exponentially increasing your investments. It's kind of like the Burr strategy, right? You're pulling money out, you're reinvesting it. And if you want to skim some cash flow out of that, you can, but you're getting your monthly cash flow if you want to live off that. That's sort of what I did. You know, I built up enough income streams to get me through those slow times. And actually, I still depend on those passive income streams. Like this year, quite honestly, has been slower because it's been difficult to roll out, you know, good deals for people. If we don't have good deals, then we can't really be rolling out deals, period, right? So this year has been slower for me than last year. Last year we had a lot of deals. This year is starting to pick up, but it's been a slow start. So thankfully, I have my income streams to kind of get me through. And those income streams aren't going anywhere because I continue to find other investments to add another income stream. So that definitely gives me peace of mind, because I got kids, I got my wife. You know, we got to make ends meet, right?
Yes.
And if I can't make ends meet, at least my investments can, you know?
Yes. No, I mean, I kind of agree to your point when you said that, you know, we do the analysis paralysis, right? all these techie people, and I'm probably the first first-hand experience. My class, I mean, I come from a good school back in India and graduated in 1995, and 50% of my class lives in Bay Area. And they know what I do, and they are like good friends, like real good friends, They know what I do, but they never end up investing with me.
No.
And that's the frustration I have. And they lose money day in, day out in stock market, right? Mm-hmm. And basically they just don't understand. So what is what is that you have to tell these guys? What would you tell them?
Well, I sort of give up on my friends and family because I have friends and family that have come in, but a lot of other people, I think they think maybe he's just doing that because there's something in it for him, but it's not that. I feel I have this buddy. I've known him since the third grade, and he had this duplex with his brother down in San Diego. The thing was worth a lot, but he was not getting a dollar of cash flow, and he was over it. And it was a lot of work, a lot of stress. His brother drives him nuts. That's a whole different story. But he had a good sizable chunk of equity that he wanted to invest and make sure that he got an income stream, because he teaches overseas. And he needs that income coming in. And so he approached me. He heard, that I was doing this, and we had been out of touch for a while, so we had a long conversation. I kind of ran him through the process. And lo and behold, he did a 1031 with, again, a sizable chunk of equity. And I said, "Don't worry, Dan, we're going to take care of you, man." And, I got a text from him about 6 weeks ago where he got his first income stream, and it was a healthy income stream, a healthy dose of cash flow. And he was like, "What? This is awesome. Like, I just got more cash flow in 1 month than I did for the last 3 years off my investment." That's another thing. You can have money buried in equity, trapped. And if you don't know how to tap into it, man, at some point you're going to need some cash flow. And that's what he wanted. So that made me feel great, man. He, like I said, I've known him since the third grade. I don't know, made my day, made my week. I was like, good. See, that's how it's supposed to be. What I would tell other people, gosh, it's tough because, again, I think people think you have an ulterior motive or an agenda. That's not it. It's win-win. If I win, you win. And that's really what it is. We have to make money in this business for our investors. If we don't, we're not in business. And like I said, the cash flow, the surprise appreciation, like I say, you get those little surprises where you think you're in it for 5 years, all of a sudden 2 years, boom, you got this big sale. And then those tax benefits, it all adds up to a great thing. That's what I would say.
awesome, Rick. I mean, actually, really speaking, you said whatever you mentioned today in podcast, they were very genuine, and they kind of came out from your heart. I would say that what I feel. I appreciate that very much, because I think I'm going to send this podcast to a bunch of my friends that just listen to it, and don't listen to me, just listen to it.
Right on, man. Well, that's good. I'm glad they'll get some value out of it.
So, yeah, Rick, how can my listeners reach out to you?
You can go to fortressfederation.com. That's my website. There you can click on, I have a, set up a call if you want. But if you just kind of want to learn a bit about the business, you can also go to fortressfederation.com/guide, and you can get a free download on, this business, and kind of, it's a quick start guide. It'll get you up and running pretty quickly. You can always email me, Rick at Fortress Federation. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome, Rick. Rick, thank you so much for your time. This was valuable information for me and for my investors. I mean, my listeners, sorry. I mean, not my investors yet. Probably future investors, who knows? But that's not the purpose. We are here for education only. And your contribution is invaluable. Thank you so much once again for your time.
Yeah, again, hey, the privilege is all mine. I appreciate you having me on.
Great.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar signing off for today.